Hey everyone, and welcome to the final episode of the TRX Road to Athens series on the TRX Procast, brought to you by Ultralife Gyms in Greece. Throughout this series, we've explored the world of fitness, entrepreneurship, and innovation with fitness industry leaders paving the way to TRX Training Summit in Athens. Today, we're honored to have Randy Hetrick, the visionary founder of TRX, joining us to delve into the heart of entrepreneurship in the fitness industry, the future of TRX, and the excitement surrounding the upcoming summit in Athens. From its humble beginnings to revolutionising fitness worldwide, TRX has been at the forefront of innovation, empowering individuals to achieve their fitness goals like never before. And now, as TRX celebrates its 20th anniversary, there's no better time to reflect on the journey and look ahead to what's next. Join us as we uncover the insights, inspirations, and aspirations driving TRX forward, all leading up to the highly anticipated TRX Training Summit in Athens. Get ready for an engaging discussion as we explore the intersection of fitness, community, and the relentless pursuit of excellence with the one and only Randy Hetrick. Enjoy the episode.
You know, first of all, of course, fun to be here with you, Nathan.
Pleasure as always, Randy. Pleasure.
I didn't really enter the fitness industry with a deliberate plan to be in the fitness industry.
Right.
You may recall in the way back when I was bringing the first strap to market, I was viewing it primarily as a tool to be used when you were on the road, right?
Right.
Because that's how I'd created in the squadron. Train when we were deployed away from our facility. I was a gym rat right back then, and this offered really some pretty extraordinary utility when you didn't have a gym. So that's how I was looking at it. So my first foray into fitness was not into the fitness industry proper as we know it today. I really was just bringing this product that I knew intrinsically had enormous utility at a very low price, and there was nothing like it in the world at the time. And so that was what I set out to do. What drew me into the fitness industry was that very, very early in the development of what was then, for those who've been around the brand for a long time, Travel Fit, right? That's what I originally brought to market. And the TRX was called the complete portable exerciser, the Travel X, the complete portable exerciser. Very quickly, I started selling these to trainers, and trainers were like, dude, this thing is amazing. It's incredible for my clients. Nobody knows how to use it. So I look like a damn genius, right? Once I learned how to make it work. And they dragged us into the gyms because I remember one of the early guys I worked with at the time saying to me, which will seem funny to you, Nathan, you're spinning your wheels if you think we're ever going to get these into gyms. And because it was not the primary vision. The
That's
primary
true,
vision
yeah.
Was, you know, kind of athletic training outdoors when you're away from a gym.
Yeah.
And so it's ironic that we ended up becoming a gym staple 20 years later, or sooner than that, maybe a decade later. Certainly over the second decade that we've been in business, we really have become a staple in gyms, and I'm grateful for that, but I owe it to trainers. So that was what got us into the fitness industry. And it's what, as we began to build more and more and more relationships with trainers, the trainers told us, hey, you need to do a course because I don't want to half-ass it with my clients.
Yeah.
Like, I really need to know how to use this thing. And then trainers introduced us to athletes. Physical therapists began to introduce us to injured people, and so we could be a tool to their recovery. And that's really what ended up bringing me into the fitness industry.
And education, I'm part of the education and experience team, which I'm very fortunate to be doing 6 years this month, actually. So I'm very, very honored to be part of the TRX family in that way. For me, education and equipment always goes hand in hand. And since I've been with TRX or worked alongside TRX, that has always been known. But at the start of TRX as a business, was equipment and education always there from the start? Or did equipment come, it was out for a period of time, and then you looked at education?
Well, it started as I mean, one of the I would say truly innovative things that we did, because we've done a few of them, but one of the ones was around the business model itself. Back 20 years ago, there weren't a lot of companies bringing equipment to market supported by content, right? It was just more like you'd sell a piece of gear, and then whoever you sold it to would have to figure out how to use it. Some of the very high priced, higher ticket items, big gym machines came with a very Spartan program of two or three exercises, but digital content really wasn't a thing, right? I mean, we wouldn't just to frame this up for our listeners. I mean, the first product that I brought to market had a VHS.
Oh
Nathan,
no.
you were probably still pooping baby food when that
I
VHS.
wasn't far off it, Randy. Yeah, I wasn't
Yeah,
far.
no, I know. And so I mean, the whole idea of wrapping people did a printed sheet of eight exercises that went with a product, if anything, right? That was the enlightened brands. A lot just threw it in a bag and shipped it. And so we were one of the early adopters of really taking digital content and wrapping our product in it. And so that was designed for the end user. But then, as I mentioned before, when the trainers started saying, well, wait a minute, this isn't a travel product, you dope. This is a gym tool, right? Like, let's bring it into the gyms, but I got to know how to use it. And I, the person who said, I got to know how to use it, looked different each time. One would be a personal trainer, one would be a group fitness instructor, one would be a physical therapist, one would be a coach, next one would be a PE teacher, right? So these all look different. And what I realized pretty early was, hey, the best way, this product is great, the suspension trainer. I knew that from day one, right? Because I'd spent so many years training at a high level and nothing else did this, right? Did what this thing did. So I knew that it was a great product, but I also knew that the only way that I could convince somebody that this product was for them was by showing them how to use it and making it relevant to their context of use. So that drove us very early, very, very early, drove me to partner up with Fraser Quelch, right? Who I was introduced to through a mutual friend. And I said, hey, look, I don't really know anything about writing education courses for trainers, but I hear you do. How about you come in and I'll pay you to do this? And if I remember right, like Fraser's first whopping contract, right, for a huge piece of work was like $9,000. And it took like 6 months to do it. But that was the beginning. And then that worked. And that showed me, like, okay, wait a minute. If I have a course that's flavored for the right pro, they're going to adopt this into their practice. And then they are going to help me introduce the product to hundreds, if not thousands, of clients on the other side of them. And so that's sort of how our what we call our triple threat business model got evolved, right? Innovative product, really expertly designed end user content, and then all of that sitting on a bed of professional education for the fit pro or the training pro.
Yeah, Randy. And because I'm involved with education on a daily basis, I feel that it's one of the main drivers, if not the driver, for the community that we've got globally. Was that something that was you was expecting? We've got hundreds of thousands of qualified trainers. We've got millions of people that now use the product based around education, whether that's doing our course, whether it's doing our summits, which we'll talk about in detail a little bit later, or the digital content. Was that something that you and Fraser always had in mind about how could people continue with the brand, or did that naturally come as a little bit of a surprise to you?
I don't think we had it in mind. What we had in mind was selling some damn product, right? And so whatever it took to do that was what we were going to do. But we knew that, I mean, pretty early I realized, like, wait a minute, this is a real model. This has some legs to it, right? If I can get trainers to buy in based on delivering them value, based on making them heroes with their clients, right? Then I get a pro bono ambassador who introduces me to generations of clients on the other side. And not only do I not have to pay for that, but the trainer pays me for the privilege, right? And so on my side of the fence, what we had to do was deliver that trainer real value, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of the trade-off. And so what was cool was as we started doing our early courses, there started to be this camaraderie that developed with the trainers, like TRX certified, right? People were like, what's that? I don't even know what that thing is. And then because we had the culture, I just come out of the SEAL teams and I knew the place I wanted to work and the relationship that I wanted to have with my colleagues. And we really never viewed our black and yellow trainers as outsiders, right? Like from day one, if you did a course with us, you became part of our crew, right? And we just built this wrecking crew of the coolest trainers in the industry. And then everybody wanted to hop on that bandwagon and be part of the cool kids, right? And we did our best not to screw that up, and it just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're now what we consider to be TRX 2.0, and there was a period of time where you were away for different reasons. How does it feel now to be back fully with TRX 2.0 with Jack Daly and the other executive team, the board members, new players coming in, some of the old school TRX staff coming back into TRX 2.0?
Well, man, I mean, I'll tell you, two of the hardest things I ever did in my life. One was leaving the SEAL teams, right, to go to business school and
you
know, have my first kid. And then the second, for sure, was leaving TRX. And when I left TRX, I did not do that. I did that under duress, right? I mean, that was not something that I wanted. It was something that at that point in the degraded relationship with the private equity guys that I just frankly couldn't be part of it anymore. So neither of those, leaving TRX was not something that I wanted to do. It was something that I felt I had to do because I just couldn't be part of what was going on. So, so coming back it was a lot of things. Number one, the company had shifted an awful lot, right? And so it was daunting to come in with Jack and start rebuilding and pull the great members of the team forward with us, exit some of the ones that should never have been there to begin with, but came in the dark ages. All of that was a big lift, and it took a while, as you know, right? You got to see it front and center.
Yeah.
It's still taking a lot of heavy lifting, right? Even to today, we're 18, not quite 18 months into this thing. And man, I got to say, like, it's incredible what has been achieved. I just got back from the grand opening of our new HQ TRX training center in Delray Beach. That is a world-class facility. And it's so cool to have our place back, because when those guys came in and shut down the HQ, shut down the TRX training center, the company honestly sort of lost its soul and very much lost its way. Because if you don't have an epicenter, how the hell are you going to build a movement? Right. And so I really felt it, Nathan, this last week when I was down there. And it's the people are coming, and people used to come from all over the world to come to the TRX training center. Well, guess what? It's happening again.
Yeah.
Right. Our biggest, best accounts are all making time to fly out there and have a look and jump in a class. And so it feels really, really good. I think Jack has done just a absolute bang up of a job in his first CEO role. And we've really pulled together, I think, an amazing team. The team is better than it's ever been in the history of the company.
I agree.
And the things that we've accomplished, I mean, it just blows your hair back when you think about the last 18 months. So I'm super excited. And now I'm excited for the next chapter, where having reestablished all the foundations, now we can really go and build a whole new TRX 2.0, right? There's better, faster, stronger. That's that's what we say. And that's what we're doing.
Prior to this recording, I had a podcast recording with Jack, and he mentioned that initially he wasn't interested in being a CEO, but you convinced him to be a CEO for TRX. Can you just delve into a little bit of the story of that and how that happened?
Yeah, well, basically, when I had left TRX, I started another company, Outfit Training, and I'm CEO of that. So when Jack and I first sat down to talk about this crazy idea of buying back the company out of its troubled state, one of the first things I said to him was like, look, I can't be the guy that is CEO, right? I'm not Elon Musk. I'm a little more sane than him, and I don't have his balance sheet. So it's not like I can surround myself with assistants, and I can't wear two CEO hats. And he said, well, we'll go get one. Well, pretty quickly, I realized like, okay, that's not going to work, because both the amount of lifting that was evident that we were going to have to do, and frankly, we underestimated how much damage had been inflicted. But also, knowing Jack Daly and the way that he grinds and drives and works, I knew that it just wouldn't work to have some poor fool, me or anyone else, sitting in that seat, right, with Jack breathing down their neck with all the lifting. Because it's different when we get to steady state, right? Everything's fixed. But I knew that first year was going to be quite a lift. And I just didn't believe that it would work to have somebody sitting in the seat as CEO with Jack and me and the rest of the board. What the hell's taking so long? And so I said to Jack, I said, you know who needs to take this job? He said, who? I said, you. He said, oh, no, it's not what I do. I said, well, you don't do anything now. You're retired, right? you time to pick up a new skill set. He said, no, I don't know. And so I went and grabbed our board member, Mark Fields, who's the former CEO of Ford, former CEO of Hertz. And I said, look, I think this is the only way this works. And I need you to help me persuade our pal here that he needs to do it. And at first Mark said, well, I don't know if interim CEO rarely works. I said, well, how's he going to be the interim CEO? He's the controlling shareholder. He said, you know what? That's right. That's a good point. And so the two of us hatched the plot that we would each pound on Jack until he submitted. And honestly, it didn't take too much arm twisting, because I think he was looking at this going, well, it's daunting, but wow, what a challenge, right? And what an opportunity. And Jack's not a guy, I think, that shrinks from a lot of challenges. So we were able to persuade him to do it. And man, was it a good decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been an awesome, like you say, 18 months. There's been a lot of hard work from everyone, but now seeing the fruits of the labor, so to speak, especially with the HQ, and fortunate to be coming over in May to see it for the first time. I think it's just really puts on the reward for all the hard work, especially the board and yourself and everyone else has done over the last 18 months. I think it's just testament to the new TRX 2.0, which is great to be a part of, and also with our community.
Nathan, before we shift off that, one other thing I'll say about Jack is, you know, I mean, look, no, everyone understands I take a fairly dim view of private equity guys and finance guys who want to be operators, only because they rarely have the reps, right? Sure. And the only way that you get good at doing something is through those 10,000 reps. And that means a lot of scar tissue along the way from making mistakes. Well, Jack fortunately has had me on one side, Mark and others on the other. So, and he's such a quick study, but I'll tell you the other thing about the guy, in addition to being a quick study, he's got really great vision. Yeah. And I honestly was a little more reluctant to go diving headlong into a major headquarters build, right? It would seem to me like, okay, we're doing a big turnaround now. And Jack was the one who stepped up first and said, I think we got to buy Y-bells. And I was like, well, I love them, but on top of, so in Jack really, I think, showed some great vision in both areas, that number one, believed we could do it. Mm. And number two, had really pretty clear vision about how and why Y-bells made sense. And ultimately I agreed, and how and why now was a better time for the HQ than later. Yeah. And that's what I probably would have waited a little longer on if it were, you know, purely my decision. But in retrospect, we got it done. And now that it's done, man, is it an incredible platform to operate the brand from. So I want to give him credit for really having, particularly for a financier, I think, extraordinary vision.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. On that conversation about Jack, how's the relationship with Jack started? How long have you known each other? How did you first get introduced? And that journey up until the point now where you are working together at TRX?
Well, we had known of each other for a long time
Right.
through the SEAL community. Jack was the treasurer of the Navy SEAL Foundation, a big patron of the community. We had a lot of common friends. But ironically, I think we'd only met, I don't know, maybe 5, 6 months before all this happened.
Yeah.
And so it really was quite serendipitous that we immediately hit it off, right? We had so many common friends that we both respected enormously in the teams who both were pimping each of us out to the other one, like, you guys got to know each other. So that cut through a lot of the clutter of a new relationship where you're trying to figure somebody out. We just immediately found great common ground. I had respect for one another from day one, and we just hit it off, right? And so that was really fortunate when a few months later, this opportunity popped up, and I knew
Yeah.
just about what Jack was up to think he might be the guy to do this with. And when I talked to him, lo and behold, he was.
Was it that instant, like you approached him? He mentioned that you asked him to look at the books and look at the current situation that we was in at the time. The timeline of it, how long or how short was it to the point where you sat down with Jack, you mentioned the idea to the point where you're actually bidding for it, and then you get TRX back.
It was probably 2 months, and because I mean, but the conversation where Jack was the one who first I said, look, let me talk to you about this terrible circumstance that has unfolded with these private equity guys. And here's where the company is, and there's what do you think? Take a look and let me know what you think. And he came back and said, let's buy it. And I said, well, let's buy it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Maybe you didn't hear the part about a lot of my equity having been wiped out by these guys. It's all right. I got resources, and I know where we can get more if we need them. Let's go get it. And so we went after it, and we took us about 2 months of diligence,
Yeah.
really hard, deep diligence. And we pulled together a team, many of whom joined us. Subsequently, my original CFO, Neil Shetty, who has since passed away, unfortunately, he jumped in. Rick Cusick jumped in. Alan Villeneuve jumped in, and we pulled in. And Jack pulled together his team of Avengers from his experiences, and we very quickly had this crack diligence team of guys who knew the business from before when it was doing well,
Yeah.
and me, the monkey who built to put each brick in place over what was then about 17 years. And then we brought in a whole bunch of new expertise, right, from Jack's network. And so it was a formidable diligence team. And we had to do it on a super compressed time frame because the auction was coming up, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I guess about 2 months start to
Wow. That's amazing how quickly in 8 weeks things can change, and TRX is brought back to its original owner and back to that family feel. I always assumed you hear things, but I always assumed it was a lot longer than that, and that the conversation
Eight
was
weeks
taking
of
some
12,
time.
eight weeks of, it's amazing what you can get accomplished in 8 weeks of 12-hour days.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, that's true. So we're coming up now pretty much the year of the 20th anniversary of TRX. So is there any, over those 20 years, is there any key milestones that stand out for you throughout that whole journey?
Yeah, at some point I'll put together a book because there are some pretty good ones,
Can't
but
wait for that one, yeah.
I mean, there are so many. I'm not a guy that believes in like the tipping point, as they say.
Yeah.
I actually think it's like climbing a mountain. There's a series of tipping points along the way, like the false summits, right? But each one propels you a little higher, and then you got to go down the other side of it, and then you get to a next one. And some of the big ones for us, I mean, we talked about one, which was when trainers early on, we really started exploding with trainers. And it was all word of mouth because I had no money whatsoever to
Yeah.
market. TRX has not been ever, up until I think really now, a great marketing organization because we never had really the resources or the resources to hire really experienced marketers. So most of TRX's growth was word of mouth, right? It was trainer to trainer, club to club, member to member, and coach to coach. And then we got into athletes, and that brought us to one of our other early tipping points, was my relationship with Drew Brees, who was one of the all-time leading passers, quarterbacks in the NFL, Hall of Fame. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Fame guy for sure. I met Drew when he was injured through my pal Todd Durkin, who coach, back to the trainer conduit. And we were able to help in Drew's recovery from a quote unquote career ending shoulder injury, right? When he was at the Chargers. Well, he went on to have one of the most epic careers ever. And we became friends. And then Drew invested in the company. Drew is just excited about the company beyond. I think he's such a business junkie that it almost the economic opportunity was almost secondary to, he just loved building the brand. And so that was a big one, because he helped us really get onto the big stage.
Yeah.
A lot of strength and conditioning coaches got exposed. And that was a big one. There were some negative milestones. I wish that I had never made the decision to take in private equity, because that changed the complexion of what we were building and really made it much harder to do the things that were right over the long term for the company, because of the short term orientation that those types of investors inflict upon a company. So those were some negative ones, but I think that each one led to the next, and it helped along the way. We helped mint a whole pile of trainer of the years in just about every organization across the industry. Our master instructors all won these awards. And so we helped ladder each other up, right? Back and forth. We would help get a trainer, a great trainer, a platform where they could seen above the rest. And then once their talents were seen, they would get the recognition, and then they'd shine the recognition back on us. And so it was a really exciting 10, 12 years of a very rapid growth, during which we brought a lot of innovation to the industry. I do think that much of the functional training movement was related to the things we were doing. So our timing was good. There were certainly others that contributed, but we were so early to that one, Nathan, just so listeners know, I heard the term mentioned enough times that one day I was like, God, maybe we should do something with that. I jumped on whatever I don't even know if GoDaddy was around then. It might've been whatever the predecessor to that was.
Yeah.
And I bought functionaltraining.com for $10. That's how early we were to the, to the game. And we still haven't done anything with that URL other than we forward it to our homepage.
Yeah.
It's a combination, right, of tipping points that mostly send you up and to the right, occasionally down and to the right, but you try to recover from those.
Absolutely. You've mentioned innovation. We've talked about education quite a lot, but innovation of the equipment, the suspension trainer itself, we've had the RIP trainer, the Bandit is probably the most recent one, and the purchase of Y-Bells. So how do you personally approach innovation when it comes to fitness equipment? Are you looking just to make things simpler or versatile, or are you always looking for something new? How do you go about thinking about bringing a new piece of equipment into the TRX family?
Well, I mean, I think one of the most significant innovations, I mean, the suspension trainer was tough to beat, right? It hit the wickets on so many different areas. But when you think about what we did after that, right, the business model that we just talked about, that was a fundamental innovation. And it seems today, I mean, a lot of people have copied it. So over time, innovation gets a little grayer in the rearview mirror. But at the time, that was cutting edge. We were the first guys in the business to create a bodyweight rack. Before that, the only thing that existed was pull-up bars, right? On the little pull-up horns on the front of a squat rack. Nobody was making bodyweight training racks.
Yeah.
The first one we did, I didn't even create it with the intention to sell it. I created it so that we could showcase many suspension trainers at trade shows.
Wow. Okay.
And it was actually Mark Stevens at the Houstonian that was the first guy that stepped up and at a trade show and said, "Hey, Randy, can I buy that?" And I was like, "You want to buy my trade show expo setup? Yeah, I'm gonna put it right in the front of my gym, and everybody's gonna sit on the box and the treadmills and watch it." And so that was a moment when I was like, "Wait a minute, I guess we ought to be selling these." So we innovated around our products. We started with a strap, then the model, then the education, then the commercial solutions, then the home solutions. So we built out an ecosystem of content, ancillary products, different mounting options. There was a lot of innovation around body weight training.
Right.
But then to your broader question, I've always been I grew up with a dad that was a little like MacGyver, right? He could fix anything.
Okay.
And I would suffer as a kid holding the flashlight for my dad all night long while he was building something or working on an engine. And one of the things that I really like to do is to find a problem that seems to be fairly broadly held.
Yeah.
And then see if there's an innovative solution to it. Because I don't love me too stuff, right? I suppose there's a place for it, I guess, in a capitalist economy, but I don't think it very rarely advances the state of the art. It usually, sure. It usually damages an area because you end up competing on price instead of on the value that you're bringing to the space. So I prefer looking for opportunities to create things that are new. The simpler and the more I believe that simplicity and elegance go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Complicated shit is just not that elegant, right? Simple stuff, simple solutions. And that's why I think the Bandit turned out to be a really great invention.
Absolutely.
Because it's a problem, right? The experience on your hand of using strength bands that are, it's very broadly held across the industry. And we came up with a pretty elegant, simple solution handle that pops over the top of any band, doesn't have a weird hook or something on it that's janky. It makes it an integrated piece of fitness gear. That's an example of, I think, our design philosophy. It's like high utility, low frills at a reasonable price. And so I'm very interested in some areas, some innovation around elastic resistance, some more innovation around body weight resistance, innovation in smart tools, right? In measurables, I think there's opportunities there. But I don't think what we're doing is just trying to create stuff to create stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever do that. I think what we're going to be doing is looking at problems that are expressed by our customers or opportunities that we see, right, ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's great. Sometimes you end up being the guy that gets all torn up, breaking the trail. But I think as a brand, fundamental innovation should always be one of our core tenets of TRX.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you don't necessarily feel the pressure of like what's next, because TRX is so known for their innovation. And like you've said, the suspension training in particular is a staple in any sports facility, any gym. But there's always those conversations where, well, what's next? You haven't released anything in a couple of years, for example. Do you feel that pressure, or do you just like, we're staying in our lane, we've got our own plan, we're going to stick to it, we don't necessarily need to get that outside pressure to create equipment for the sake of it, as you say?
Well, I mean, I would argue that we have been innovating. I mean, we arguably have not, during, as we mentioned, we went through sort of a dark period, right? Like the Bandit is just now launching, really.
Yeah,
I created it a couple of years ago, but it didn't get properly launched. It didn't get properly manufactured initially. So I would count that as a new one that's out in the market. What we're doing with the TRX digital platform, right? The TRX Training Club.
Yeah,
we're doing a ton of innovation there that is going to, I believe, bear fruit as we go forward. We're going to continue to look at our existing lines and figure out how can we improve them, because all innovation doesn't have to be always new from scratch. A lot of times you can look at something that you have and say, man, is there, how can we make this better?
Yeah.
Good as it is, I know there's a bunch of ways we can make the suspension trainer even better. And those bring new intellectual property. They bring an improved user experience. And then around process, we're doing a ton of process innovation right now. So I think sometimes people have a tendency to maybe oversimplify the definition of innovation as like,
yeah,
what's the new widget that we've never seen before? Well, that's coming. Fear not. I have a list. Like one of the things I'm most excited about the new HQ is that Jack has been kind enough to build me a Skunkworks lab.
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
And it'll be like Fort Knox to get into it, but it'll have all the band saws and drill presses. And I just delivered our original Juki sewing machine there. We'll have the tools we need to do some basic creation and ideation. And then we've got two really great engineers that recently joined from Nike, who know a thing or two about making slick products. So if you take the input from our customers, the input from our trainers, my natural inquisitiveness about as a ghetto MacGyver, and then you bring real engineering sophistication behind me to help take some of these ideas, and I got pretty deep knowledge of the industry, right? And pretty great access to an awful lot of really smart coaches. I think we can find the white spaces that represent problems in need of a solution. And then I think we can go solve them. And now we've got the machinery and the expertise to be able to do that. So I would say you can look to an awful lot of TRX innovation headed down the pipe over the next 5 years.
So your vast experience within the fitness industry and working with some of the best minds within the industry without question. So in your opinion, what challenges do you see in the fitness industry today and things that may be coming in the future? Is it AI? Is it going down more the digital route? Is there an issue with innovation like you've mentioned? Where do you see the challenges in your opinion within the fitness industry right now?
Well, the challenges at the commercial fitness industry level, I think, are that a lot of businesses are still quite far from recovery from COVID. I mean, there's an awful lot of businesses that have a ton of debt on them, right, that they incurred from COVID. There's a lot of, I think, again, back to like, I'm not a huge fan of Me Toos. Part of the reason is you end up with too many Me Toos concepts, and the industry gets cluttered. The consumer doesn't really know who to choose, so they choose no one. And then I think there's just such a sea of offerings in every category, digital, brick and mortar, right? Like now AI is coming in, and I don't claim on any level to be, I mean, to call me an AI novice is being generous. So right, that's an area that I have to bone up my knowledge on. I don't believe at the end of the day that either digital or AI or virtual is really going to threaten in-person fitness. I think it hopefully will grow the pie, right? And people who wouldn't go to a gym because they just don't believe the gym's for them might be willing to lean into an AI coach, or might be willing to sign up for a digital subscription. And I think what's our obligation as professionals in the fitness industry is to try to figure out, hey, how do we grow this pie? I don't want it to be cannibalistic where it's zero sum and we all just agree that only 15% of the population is ever going to do it, and we got to fight for every one of them.
Yeah.
That's not the way to build a great market. The great way to build a great market is to keep innovating, keep offering a variety of different services, and let an ever larger body of consumers decide which one's right for them. My new business outfit, right, is an example of this. Like I didn't want to launch another brick and mortar because there's already a lot of them, and a lot of them are great, right? Yeah. And arguably there's way too many of them because not all of them are great. I wanted to go look at the outdoor fitness space, right? And try to bring something that was a low buy-in for trainers, a low operating expense structure for operators, and then a low price for the consumer in a new domain. And that's an example of just, that's just one. I mean, I like that I'm walking my talk, but it's an example of something that I think we need more of in the industry. We need people who are coming up with new things and improving the state of the art, not just bringing another service to market because they can. So I think that's one of the challenges out there in the industry. And then on the consumer side of the fitness industry, it's just the continued education process of like, why is this stuff worthy of your time, right? Why would you make time each day to do something that initially doesn't feel great, right? Exercise for somebody who's deconditioned, it's not a great experience initially.
No.
It becomes a great experience, right? And it becomes an addictive experience. And then you realize all the benefits from it. But there's that education piece of getting the folks that, watching way too much TV and eating way too many Cheetos off their bums, getting them out, getting them moving. And then they start to go, wait a minute, now I see, now I get it, right? I feel so much better. Hey, I'm starting to look better. Hey, my friends are telling me, hey, my kid is complimenting, whatever it is, right? My partner suddenly is finding me oh so sexy. Like that's what's out there for people, but it doesn't happen on day one, right? And
No.
so how do we educate the folks who are the great untrained masses, right? How do we educate them to get up and get going? That's I think our challenge on the consumer side.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about summits. That's what the main conversation is around the Athens summit is coming up in a few weeks. But can you just go through the what inspired the idea of hosting a TRX summit in the first place? And what was the original main purpose? Was it to bring the communities together, or was there a different purpose to it originally? And it's just evolved into something now that's a global event because we do it all over the world, where we bring local TRX trainers, general fitness communities together for like a weekend of innovation, education, and networking.
Well, it started purely as a way, and honestly, I think maybe the first one was Fraser's brainstorm, right? It was
Right.
like, hey, we have to figure out an efficient way to get all these trainers together and to like upskill them to a level that all can now achieve. We know that there's a consistent set of people out there who have achieved a consistent standard of excellence in our view. Right, with our products. And so it started as our master instructors, the people who train other trainers on our courses, we would get together. And I wanted to really make it something different and special and unique. And so we did a lot of really interesting stuff in the early days that built and grew year over year. And while for the first, God, I don't know, 6, 7 years that we were doing summits, it was only our what we call our black and yellow level instructors, the ones that teach our courses. But then we started thinking first of all about, okay, well, we've got to keep growing. We've got to build the bench of instructors that we can tap. So we started reaching beyond that cadre and getting trainers, new trainers of the industry that were all about, loved our brand, loved our products. And then it became trainer summits. Right, that wasn't just our course instructors, it was any trainer. And then we started having the brand fans out there, the people who are the prosumers, if you will, the people that are like such serious consumers that they want to be pros. And eventually we realized like, hey, there's a lot of power in having these great two-day get-togethers where we come together, everybody learns some stuff. Some of it might be over the head of some of the attendees who aren't pro trainers. That's okay. They feel like they're learning something inside the kimono. They bring a level of excitement and freshness that I think that the career trainers appreciate. So they get to, recharge their batteries, fill their tanks, And then we just really do a lot of fun stuff. So it's these summits have become both learning experiences and recharge experiences where you just show up, you have fun, you meet a whole bunch of cool new people to add to your network, your professional network. And then you get to go someplace cool. And a lot of times people will bring their families with them. So while they're at the summit event working, their family is off playing. And that's how I think we'll continue to do them. This one coming up in Greece is a great example of, it's going to be an amazing experience as well as a lot of skills training.
Yeah, absolutely. And the summit in Greece is in partnership with Ultralife. So they're going to bring a lot of trainers to the event. And I suppose, and correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, but this is, I suppose, the first of summit where we've partnered up with a gym that are going to bring pretty much 90%, if not all of their trainers to a weekend just on our experiences and our knowledge. So how excited are you to reach a landmark event like that, where from our point of view, it's going to probably be the biggest one we've ever done, the number of attendees, but also that a high class facility and gym chain like Ultralife has come to us and said, we want you to really deliver an experience for our staff because we know you're so good at what you do with the summits that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, we've done over the years summits where we brought a chunk of five different club chains, right, of their trainers together. And those, frankly, are fun because, you know, you get TRX has always been a uniter, right? We've always been that. We still do. We throw these great little parties, right, at conferences, and you'd end up with the arch enemies from around the industry sitting next to each other, having a beer. And that's just always been part of our shtick. We love everybody. But what we haven't done before, this is the first time, is we haven't built a summit around a partner. And that's really what happened with Ultralife, right? Is that they are buying into our programs at such a level that they said, look, we want to commit the whole army here. And then on top of that, we're bringing the usual, like some of the other usual attendees. So we've got this great big anchor tenant that's bringing all of their people. And then we're bringing a couple hundred more on top of that. I mean, it's going to be pretty, pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it because look, I mean, it was only 3 or 4 years ago, right, that the guys that I had sold control to were basically saying devaluing education.
Absolutely.
They were so transactional that like, oh, why do it? It's, you don't make that much money off of it. It's a waste of time. Like ridiculous, because it's by far the best way, the best platform from which to sell products, right? Is to have an educated customer base, and on top of it, it's just so important to the culture of our brand, and our authenticity and our being rooted to the seafloor as an authentic training brand. So it's sweet revenge, right? When a couple of years later, we're doing not only back to doing summits, but we're doing the biggest one of the company's history by a fair margin. So what is the old saying that victory is the best revenge?
Absolutely. I think it's when you announced that you were back with Jack, I think the first email I sent you was, I can't wait to do summits again, because I understood the value, but also on a selfish point of view, it was the highlight of the working year with TRX that you would end up going to a summit, like over organizing it will be part of it. So it's so good to have it back. And like you say, this one is just unprecedented from a TRX perspective, and the biggest one we will ever do, but the one that the biggest that we've done so far. Yeah. So I think that's just, again, testament to you and Jack, really, in terms of how you've brought TRX back and really elevated the brand even further now.
When I was in one of the summits that we did, I don't know, a couple of summits ago, I'm nursing a couple of different old dude injuries, right? That the different times sort of flare up. And I had the first summit that I wasn't able to participate fully, compete in the face-up games and all that. And I really was sort of I was really broken up over it. But Then when I did it, one of the things that I had missed all these years was when you're in the thick of it doing, you miss the ability to observe some of the attendees and to watch like what's going on with them. And I came away from it actually like feeling very different than I went into it. I went into it, I was feeling like this old broken horse that wasn't able to deliver. And I was upset about it. I came away from it actually thinking it was one of the most rewarding summits that I'd ever done.
Yeah.
Because it gave me the chance to watch all the delight that was going on out there on the floor, watch all the relationships that were being built, all the people that were just, I mean, literally like kids, like playing like kids. And these are serious trainers, right? Who normally are always in charge. Well, suddenly they're not. They just get to unplug and sort of jump in and play. And I think for the first time, I was able to see some of the emotional impact that we have by doing these events and giving people the opportunity to show up and just take a couple of days for themselves, learn some stuff, have some fun, make some new friends, get a whole bunch of workouts. And so it's a pretty special event, and I'm really looking forward to going back to Greece, because this will be our third summit in Greece over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's just such a special place.
Would you say that's what you enjoy about summits the most then? Like you say, like being involved with the participants, because I've been to a few summits now with yourself and you're right amongst it. You get involved in the workouts. You're always chatting to people. Is that what you enjoy about the summits the most?
Yeah, I feel such an enormous sense of gratitude to anybody who buys into our brand and makes us a part of their life, whether they're a pro, whether they're just a regular Joe or Joanne that's out there and adopts our gear and makes it part of their life and our methodology. So I love the opportunity to get to hang out with them and just make friends and learn new things. Every single summit I go to, somebody teaches me. Not only does somebody teach me something about life, they teach me something about those straps.
Yeah.
Every time I get somebody who comes up and is like, hey, can I show you something? You've probably seen this. A lot of times I have, but there's every single summit, I learn something new on the straps that I've been swinging on for 25 years. Right.
Yeah.
And it really, or they'll tell me, I mean, there's almost no summit that happens, Nathan, where somebody doesn't damn near bring me to tears with some story about how we've changed their life, usually, but occasionally it's one of their clients' lives that they'll tell a story. And at the end of it, you're a blubbering idiot. I mean, it's pretty cool.
I think it is. Yeah. I think people ask me, because I've been fortunate enough to organize a few of the summits now with the team. And like, what do you enjoy about some? What do you like? And it's very similar to you in a sense of the community side of it. But being specific, a lot of people will interact on social media, especially during COVID and after the fact. They've never met each other face to face. The one that we did in Oxford last September, it was a lot of time. There was 13 countries being represented there. They all flew in, and it was the first time they were meeting face to face with someone that they've been speaking to for 2 or 3 years on social media. And also, on aside from that, there are single business owners that have their own studio, have really adopted TRX philosophy, the equipment, the education. And they've come up to me and said, look, I always felt that I was on my own. Yes, we've done your education. Yes, we follow you on social media, but no one is really doing what I'm doing in my area. So to come to a summit where there's hundreds of people that are of a similar mindset, have the TRX, is just fantastic. And that's what I love about the summits more than anything. The education's great. The nights out are special. But the actual camaraderie and the fact that people are meeting and connecting for the first time each other and felt like they've known each other for years, I don't even know a general event, let alone a fitness event, where you have that way of bringing that energy to events.
Yeah, well, I'm a diehard entrepreneur, so I have such great affection for other entrepreneurs. And it ain't easy, man. It is a hard path. It's a lot easier path to plug into a big established company and just go through the paces. Getting out there and doing something on your own is scary. It's lonely. I mean, it's incredibly rewarding, right? When you accomplish something, but I mean, you feel a sense of obviously ownership and accomplishment that you probably will never experience as a big company person, right? But it's scary and it's isolated and it's lonely. And so when we get to bring together a whole heap of people that are out there building these businesses, and the common thread is black and yellow, right? And yeah, it runs between them. I think that's a pretty special opportunity, because people, that's part of like getting your tank filled, right? It's yeah, like they show up, they create great friendships with other people doing something similar. Could be across the city, could be across the country, could be on the other side of the world. But you develop these network friends that then you can use as resources. You can call and just have a cry with, right? Like whatever yeah, it is, whatever it is that you need, you have friends that you met and that you stay in touch with at these events. And I think that's pretty unique and pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely, Randy. Yeah, so we're finishing up now. Thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. For the listeners that are coming to Athens, we look forward to seeing you. For those that have listened to the episodes that we've done and want to register for the event, I'll make sure I put the link within the show notes, along with Randy's social media tag. So give him a follow. He's a lot more active these days than previously. So give him a follow. I'm sure he'll give you a message. But like I say, Randy, thanks again for your time. We really can't wait to be out in Athens and spend 2 or 3 days together. But yeah, for everyone else, hopefully see you in Athens. But if not, make sure you subscribe and like, and we'll catch up with you soon. Randy, thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Nathan, it's great to be with you. I can't wait to hang out together in Athens. I'll see you in a few weeks, buddy.
As we wrap up this episode, we want to extend our gratitude to Randy Hetrick for sharing his invaluable insights and experiences with us today. It's been an enlightening discussion exploring the evolution of TRX, entrepreneurship in the fitness industry, and the excitement surrounding the TRX Global Summit in Athens. We're thrilled to announce that the TRX Global Summit in Athens is just around the corner, happening this weekend. We're eagerly anticipating this gathering of fitness enthusiasts, professionals, and industry leaders from around the world. If you're joining us at the summit, we can't wait to connect with you in person and sharing this incredible experience together. For those of you who are unable to attend, fear not. Keep an eye on my personal Instagram page, at NathanTRX and TRX UK, for exclusive snippets and behind-the-scenes moments from this weekend's events. We'll be bringing you all the highlights, insights, and excitement from the TRX Global Summit straight to your screens. Thank you once again for tuning into the Road of Athens series, sponsored by Ultralife Gyms in Greece. We hope you've enjoyed the journey as much as we have, and we look forward to seeing many of you at the TRX Global Summit in Athens. Until next time, keep striving, keep moving, keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible with TRX.